Okay, Titus 3. Finish up our Titus study this morning. There are things that certainly I need reminded of continually. Certainly in the Christian life, it's good. It's good to hear these things over and over and over again. And these are very practical things. And so Paul, in writing to Titus, who's going to be, again, taking a message to the churches and really to the world of his day, Paul ends up, remember, I think of Moses' ending. Remember, I mean, that is a huge thing, a whole book of remembering. Remember, remember, don't forget. If you go to Deuteronomy, you'd see that as one of the major themes of that whole book. And so I think that it's easy for me to take certain things for granted and not to really consider certain things. As a Christian, as I go through life, I'm good. I don't know about you, but it's really easy to compartmentalize, you know, your life, right? I'm going to go have fun now. I'm going to do work now. I'm going to relax at home now. And we tend to take those things sometimes and to the exclusion of that, no, I'm a slave of Jesus. And no matter what I'm doing, I'm slaving for him. I am serving him. I am living for him. Whatever I'm doing, I want to please him. And so even when I'm sitting vegetating at home and I turn on a electronic device and it's talking to me, is what's talking to me pleasing to Jesus? Yeah, but I'm vegetating, I'm at home, and I need this time to relax. No, is it pleasing to Jesus? Would Jesus be glorified at me looking at this and listening to this? And so Paul writes to remind them to be subject. You might not think of this in the day and age that we live in, but remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. Why would he say that? Because boy, it's not even in, there's turmoil in our country right now, but in Paul's day, when Paul is writing this, it was not fun being a Christian. It was dangerous being a Christian. Paul is going to lose his head. I mean, he's going to have an axe come right down on his neck and his head's going to roll off. He's going to be killed. He's going to be martyred because he loves Jesus. And so I don't know about you, that were occurring, I would think, man, it'd be nice to have an assault rifle and to be using it against those that are want to whack my head off. And Paul's saying, you know what, remind them, remind the church, think of the time that they're living in. Remind the church, remind them that God is as wicked, as intolerant, as evil, as godless as these leaders are. God has allowed them to be in power for a reason at this point in time. And Paul's saying, you know what? Remind them to be subject. Remind the church that we are subject to the authorities over us. Wow, that's a powerful statement. That I'm to live in subjection and humility. Even when it's very uncomfortable and dangerous to do that. In Romans, Paul says, you know what? You better be praying for the kings and the rulers that are over you, because that's just a good thing. It's a good thing to be praying for them. Isn't it interesting that he doesn't say, you know what? Form a rebellion. Form a militia so that you can overthrow this wickedness. He doesn't say it. There's a lot today that, I mean, they kind of think that's what we should, that's a proper thing to do. No, he said, remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities. You know, we need to live in subjection. Ultimately, we need to be in subjection to God our Father. And I think, and again, you might, it'd be very easy for me, I am. Well, no, I'm not. Many times I'm not. Whenever I sin, I'm not in subjection to my Heavenly Father. I'm in rebellion to Him. Whenever I'm not honoring Him, I'm not in subjection to Him. He's the King. I'm the servant. My life needs to be bowed down to Him. And so, first of all, I need to be in subjection to God the Father. He's the ruler. Now, He's established government. I love Nebuchadnezzar. There's some really powerful statements that God establishes rulers and He deposes rulers. That's a truth that Nebuchadnezzar comes to, you know, through that his whole journey there. And so I need to realize that you know what? We're Tuesday, we prayed about it. George, you know, to me, you know, it's like again, who am I? But in my mind, there's light and there's dark. I'm going to vote for light Tuesday. What I feel is light. Now, there's others that are going to vote for light, and they're diametrically opposed to what I see as light. And so, the results of Tuesday, what? God has allowed that. God has allowed that. And boy, I thought, you know, a few years ago, we are really going down the tubes. And whatever you think, you know, has happened in the last few years, I don't know. What if it's horrible? What if we lose our freedom? What if they, I mean, Northwest Pennsylvania, Hicktown, that's how I think a lot of people see us. And, you know, what if they, you're going to turn in all your guns? I heard somebody say that, just, they're from Australia. You know, look how wonderful our country is. And why is it so wonderful? Because everybody was made to turn in their guns. Well, that's a fundamental right that we have in our Constitution. I think it's number two. And so, what if they sign a law? Wow, that's a hard one, isn't it? Oh, what if they reverse that? Paul says, remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey. I need to live a life of humility and a life of subjection. I think even amongst us, are there times that I would be subject to you, that you would be subject to me? Wow, that's silly. How about in opinions? How about in even when we come to certain things in a Bible study? Am I willing to be subject to you? I see this maybe just a hair differently. But you know what? I'm willing to... You have your viewpoint. You know what? I can be... It might not change me, but I can be subject to you. Boy, how I've seen, that's impossible. I am not going to even give you leeway to see that way. Now, I'm not saying somebody... Jesus isn't God. There's no leeway there. I'm talking of, you know, other areas. One that I harp on all the time. You know, how about a Christian drinking alcohol? Oh, I'm not drunk and I don't do it to accept. Now, I have real, again, you know, I don't, in my mind, you don't even touch it. But I know there's other views out there, right? Well, okay. If you want to take a chance, and that's really my stance. And it's not a stance that I'm, you know, being like trying to be prideful or above, place my view above the others. But you know what? Hey, if you're not fully persuaded and you want to take a chance, that's my opinion. You want to take a chance and dabble in it? There's nothing I can do about it. It's not going to change, but you know what? I'll love you and accept, you know, live your life. Do what you want to do, you know? And so I can still fellowship with you and love you and whatever. And so remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. You know, today we're going to be obedient to the laws and to those who are over us. Live a life of humility and subjection. Live a life of obedience. Ultimately, obedience to the word. And be ready for every good work. Isn't it interesting? Initially, you know, you might say, Paul, I'll just read, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created for Christ Jesus for good works. It's a theme that Paul has all through his writings. Thessalonians, I think I put that in there. Don't give up doing good works. We're saved. We're radically saved and changed. What? That my life now would be filled with doing good. Good works. That we're ready for every good work. You know, that's what our life should be about. We're saved to do good, to spread the gospel, to love, to pray, to encourage, to help, be positive. You know, Jesus said, "You're either gathering or scattering." As a Christian, I don't want to be a scatterer, because that's against the things of the Lord. He said, "I want to be a gatherer." Good works. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, even in persecution, even in tribulation, even under great oppression. Paul said, as Christians, as a church, you need to be about good. You should be doing good works. You should be the light in the community. You should be the light in the neighborhood. You should be the light shining in darkness. And then real practical, to speak evil of no one. I shouldn't be talking about other people in any way, shape, or form in a negative way. Again, if I disagree with even what he just said in context, even with now President Trump, I should be praying for him. I should be praying for him. Maybe I should be fasting for our country. That person that is just a friction, I should be praying for them. I should be speaking to God about them and to no one else. Unless they've offended me, and then I'm speaking to them. I'm not speaking to anybody else. I don't need to talk to anybody else about the people that are causing friction in my life. Or they disagree with me, or whatever. Maybe they're even trying to destroy me. I need to pray for them. And I don't need to speak about them. Especially, I don't need to speak evil of them. So, speak evil of no one. Be peaceable, gentle. You know, I want to be a person of peace. I get no pleasure out of always being in chaos. I don't know how people live that way. I've gone in, you know, in my home, I never wanted to be a place of chaos. a war zone. You read, I don't read it anymore because I don't get it, but the police blotter, how these people live that way. They call it domestic disputes. The blotter's filled with them, right? I mean, it's just like, I want peace in my home. Be peaceable. Be a person of peace, not a person of war, not a person of... I had a guy come in, this is years ago, when we were down on the avenue in church. He come in my office one day, I had an office upstairs in the back, and he comes in and he says, I just want you to know that he was there like a couple Sundays. He come in, I just want you to know that God's given me a ministry. I go, oh, what is it? God's given me the ministry of throwing nuts into the fan. And what he was saying is, give me a ministry to come in and cause disruptions. And I looked at him, I said, well, you know what? Go somewhere else and perform your ministry. You're not going to perform it here. You're not going to throw nuts in a fan here and have them flying all over hitting people, knocking them out. It's ridiculous. And so there's people just love contention. I think they thrive on it. They get a high off it. And I have no time for it. Even in the church, it's a place of peace. It's a place of redemption, restoration. It's a place where the gospel is, and it's a gospel of peace. Isn't that interesting? It's a gospel of peace. And so we need to be peaceable people, gentle. Well, it's just the way I am, and if you don't like it, talk. No. I don't like it, and if nobody else likes it, pray that God would change you and make him more like you. Make you more like Jesus. Now, there are times Jesus got in somebody's face. Mainly, it was those were when the innocents were, being in danger of being hurt. He wasn't in their face all the time. He actually was eating with his enemies. Sitting with his enemies, talking with his enemies. And when his enemies nailed him across, he looked at them and said, they don't know what they're doing. I forgive you. Wow. And so a gentleness. When I see, Paul says in Galatians right in the beginning there, if I see somebody in sin, I go to him with the heart of restoration in mind. And the atmosphere that I'm going to them in is brokenness, humility, and gentleness. In other words, I'm not going to them because I'm so holy and great and I've never sinned. And stupid idiot, why are you? No. Wow. You're broken and you've fallen, and man, here's my hand. Here's my arm. I want to help you up. I want to steady you. I want to stand with you. So you don't fall again. Showing all humility to all men. Isn't that interesting? Not just to another Christian. He says all men. That I'm walking in humility in my life in every area. Walking in humility disarms the majority of people. I'm sure I've offended a lot of people. When that offense is made known to me, wow, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? I don't know how many people don't want to hear that. They want to hear me defend myself. They want to hear me say, it was really your fault. They want to hear me come up with some excuse of why, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that. Please forgive me. Oh geez, now what do I say? They have to say, I forgive you. Not many want to say it. I've had many people just turn around and walk away. They want to fight. And when you humble yourself, and when you show humility to all men, wow. I don't know what that, see, it puts it on them. It really does. They need to forgive, or it's on them. For we ourselves were also once. So there's the new life, and he's reminding us of what, you know, these things in Christianity, that they're just practical, everyday things that I should desire to walk in. But then, looking back, look at how you used to live. For we ourselves were also once, and again, why should I place myself above anybody? That's a tendency that we have. I can remember years and years ago, there's a bunch of us, and we just started, you know, we were, I mean, some were a little more advanced than others, and we said, you know, let's get together. We got to start getting together some couple evenings a night, and we were playing different instruments, and we were having fun. And then we said, hey, you know what, let's find 20 songs, let's do them, and then, you know, let's go out in the community and play these songs and stuff. And so it took us a long time. Finally, we were going out and playing and having fun and going around different places. And came a time when we wanted a guitar player, another guitar player. So a couple guys, hey, I want to come and play guitar. So I said, okay, come on, we're going to practice, you know, whatever night that was. And so he came, and he came and just sit and play with us. A couple of the guys, what are you doing here? I said, well, he wants to play. I want him to come and play. Can't play. Yeah, I have to have a tryout. I mean, a guy could play pretty good. Oh, he's got to have a tryout. You know, now he's got to prove him. None of us had to prove ourselves. I mean, we were just, oh, he's got to have a tryout. And we've got to prove, you know, how is that what we do in our Christian life? You know, we were ignorant. We were foolish. We were dead. Oh, but boy, you better be. You better be right. You better be at a certain level, or, you know, I don't have time for you. And Paul wants to remind us where we came from. Paul, you know, never forget where you came from. You know, why would we in any way, shape, or form, you know, judge another or think that another doesn't deserve Jesus? You know, I'm sure we don't, but in certain ways, at times we do. For, you know what, we ourselves were also once foolish. We were foolish, we were ignorant. We were disobedient, we were deceived. Serving various lusts and pleasures. Oh, I don't understand why that person is doing what they're doing. Well, maybe they're just not where you're at right now. Right? Can I pray for them? I would pray for them, and then I'd say, you know what, I don't want to jump them today. No, first time I see him, I don't want to jump him. You know what, God? If you want me to disciple him, would you lay it on their hearts that maybe they'd approach me with a question? You know, how do I do that? How do I raise my kids? How do I discipline my kids? You know, what's it mean to how do I overcome this? You know, I've made a commitment to Christ, and I've lived, you know, tried to live for Christ. I'm just struggling with this area. How do I overcome it? Lord, would you create an opening where I can love them and disciple them? Now, what, you know, I get to a certain, I guess, age in my career, and I'm going to just, you know, I'm the Holy Spirit, and I'm, you know, I know what's wrong. I'm just going to jump them and I'm going to correct them. And boy, they just better listen to me. I think it's the wrong approach. Now, if they're in danger of death, yeah, I think I might want to jump them then. But you know what? They're growing. Paul's saying, I think, you know what? We all serve various lusts. You know, we all serve certain pleasures. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. Let's pray that we come to the place where by faith we overcome these things. And Lord, if they're struggling, give me the opportunity, just what Paul says in Galatians, to bring them and restore them and encourage them. But I want to always be doing that in the atmosphere, not in a prideful way. Not boy, you know, I'd like to whip them. I'd like to show them. No, I just in gentleness and in humility. Living in malice, living in hatred, living in just this severity. Living in envy, hateful, and hating one another. Lord, give me a love for other people. Lord, I just don't want to run from them. I grew up my whole life. I mean, I hated them. I did not want to be around people at all. Why? It's just saved me the aggravation of it all. You know, give me a love for them. Give me a love for their souls, right? I mean, that's the most important thing. So, live this way, he reminds us. This is where you once were. You know, we all were there. But something changed. We had an encounter, didn't we? God made a way. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. I loved our Wednesday night, the last Wednesday night. What a powerful chapter. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Oh, wow. The wind blows where it wills. You can't see it. You don't know where it comes from, what really produces it. You don't know where it's going. So it is with the Spirit. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, no. But according to his mercy, he saved us. What did John say? You must be born again through the washing of the water and the Spirit. Through the water and the Spirit. The washing of the water of the Word. Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Whom we poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. What a neat thing there. You know, as I deal with other people, that I got something I don't deserve. God in his goodness and in his grace and his abundant, extravagant love poured out, made available to me. Saved me. I was reborn. I became a partaker, Peter says, of the divine nature. By his grace, I received it. We've received grace upon grace. Shouldn't I extend grace upon grace? Shouldn't I? We've been saved. We once lived this way. Don't want to live that way anymore. I've been radically changed. And my life should evidence it. And I should extend that grace to others. I should extend that mercy to others. I should extend that forgiveness to others. He poured out, I love the word, abundantly. He didn't half save us. He didn't partially save us. He didn't, you know, it wasn't a grudging thing. What a beautiful total thing. We'll hit it someday here, but I love the first chapter of 1 Peter. It's, oh my goodness. This is what I poured out upon you. This is what I've freely given you. It's eternal. It's undefiled. It can never be taken away. That having been justified by His grace, justified, never sinned, I am and you are now the righteousness of God. What? Paul tells us in Christ Jesus, He's clothed us with His righteousness. It's not our righteousness. That we should become heirs. Don't you love Romans 8? We're sons of God, daughters of God, children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. I just love those things. He did it. He adopted us. He made us that. I could never get it. I could never obtain it. He freely gives it to us. You know that? How often do we think, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God right now? I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Wow. And then he goes on, the ending of that chapter is awesome, isn't it? Well, what would hinder? What would take all that from me? Nothing. 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 Nothing can separate us from His love. We've been justified by His grace, that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. I've been saved, now I can serve myself. I've been saved, now I can... No, I've been saved, now I'm going to serve Jesus. I've been saved, so geez. I'm going to go to a termite-infested land and help somebody, right? I've been saved, so now I'm going to sacrifice so that people hear the gospel and people are discipled and people are encouraged over the internet and through the airways. I've been saved so that people, I mean, I'm just what's real to me, you know, so that people in Pakistan are encouraged and the gospel is preached. So that people who are in their last days, weeks, months, years of life are encouraged, have a friend, and know that more than anything, Jesus loves them. And as they're standing at maybe death's door, literally, some of them, you know what? It's okay. And Jesus is there to walk through them, just through that valley that is a shadow. I've been saved. I've been justified. I'm an heir. He says, be careful to maintain good works. I can be. When it comes to the things of the Lord, when it comes to my relationships, I do not want to be a discourager. I do not want to be a hinderer. When I think of just some of the things that can hinder a person and a person's life, I do not want to be a roadblock. I do not want to be, did I say it, a discourager. I want to be affirming these wonderful things that God has provided. I want to be a praiser. I want to be a person of thanksgiving. I want to be a person that is sharing the gospel. When I think Micah called me, Wednesday. He said, "Dad, we were working. We were there up on a roof, three stories high, and a neighbor came across the street." He didn't talk to you first, right? Talk to Kyle. Would you look at something? I don't know what it was. Would you look at something? I need fixed. And then I guess he just burst out in tears. And so he went back into his house, and Kyle went and got Micah and said, "Micah, he was talking to me. He just started crying. We need to go over there and knock on his door and pray with him." And so they got off the roof and went over there and knocked on his door, went inside his house and prayed with him. Now, we're just doing construction. We're just doing, we're just making a living. We're just, and God brings this guy across the street who's broken and hurting to the point where he can't hardly function. And they could have just kept working. I mean, you got to make a living. But you know what? It's not about making a living. It's about, Jesus, what do you want done today? How can I, as Mr. Construction Hammer Guy, serve you today? And I want to be a minister. And if God knows that you want to be a minister, you don't have to do nothing. He'll just send people to you. And I was so blessed. I wanted to cry like George cried. You know, God, that they're broken people and they need to know that somebody cares, and it's not even another person. They need to know that you are real, that you care, that you can stand with them, that you can be their friend now, that you can somehow comfort them in their most dire hour of loss. Wow. That's what he's saying. That's the kind of, that's who I want to be. How many people you meet, they never have nothing good to say about nothing. Yeah, they can tell you what's wrong all the time, and they can do it better. But you know what? They never share in the gospel. They're never encouraging anybody. And they're just causing a shipwreck or a big traffic wreck wherever they go. And they call, and they're like touting themselves as these big Christians. And it's so sad. Well, they just make a shipwreck of the gospel. Who wants it? Who would want that kind of a gospel? You know, all I am is a complainer and all I can see is what's, and they're not ready to give anything. In fact, all they just want. It's all about them. And all they want is for themselves. And so, you know what? I just, when I go through my life, God, just, again, you've given me, look at what you've done in my life. I know where I was. I'd be dead if it wasn't for you, Lord. And now, you know, it's like that Gaither song. You know, you took this mess and you made something beautiful of it, and you're the one that did it all, and you've given me the enabling to now share that you are the answer. Jesus, you're the answer. You're the hope. We suffer these tragedies. You know, Lazarus, you're the hope. Jesus, there's resurrection. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. And so this is a faithful saying that I should be careful to maintain good works. Lord, I want to do a good roof job, but more than that, I want to do a good soul job. Send me some souls. These things are good and profitable to men. Now, they weren't working on this guy's roof, but the whole thing is, again, all that's going to burn. If even on the job, or even, you know, we're in my neighborhood, if I'm not the light of the neighborhood, if I'm not, I mean, just think again. Even this Thanksgiving, this Christmas, how can I be a light in my neighbor? You know, what about that guy across the street whose wife just passed away? Or that lady across the street whose husband just, maybe they don't have to, you know what, maybe they need a Thanksgiving dinner. You know, what is it? One more plate at my table. Oh, geez, but I don't want to, oh my goodness. You know, we've had a tradition here, it's family. Why not make them their family? Why, he might need a family. She might need a family this Thanksgiving. You see, there's all kinds of easy things. You know, I just want to be about good works. Who could I encourage this holiday season? You know, when I found out, see, I was thinking the Rouse home was a little different. It's not. I think that's, I don't know. No. It's filled with lonely people. Just lonely people. I can sit and hug them. I try and hug them all. I can hug them. I can talk with them. You know what? I can encourage them. I can tell them I'm your friend. You have no one. That's what I tell them. They'll tell me, I don't have any. I said, you got me. I look them right in the eyes. I said, you got me now. You got me. You know, who? Just think of in your neighborhood, at work. You know, there's people out there. They're so hurting and they're broken down. And we have the gospel. We have the Lord. We are called to maintain good works. That's a good work. And it's profitable. Let's finish it. Avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law. He is writing, they were Christians who had come out of Judaism. And so they were locked into the law. Those that didn't come out, oh, geez, they hated Paul. They hated the Christians. I just take it, you know what? I mean, it's just a lot of unprofitable things to be dealing with today. I just don't want to be a person. Reject the device of man after the first and second admonition. Oh, so divisiveness. Yeah, that's real today. You know, even in the church. I don't think we have that here, but you know what? You want to divide? You want, you know, something's always a problem. Well, go find something where there won't be. Start your own church. That's what I'd like to tell them. Then it'll be perfect. Because you're perfect. You know, it's just, there's no reason. Man, if we're not preaching the gospel, then you better leave. Other than that, if God's showing you something, do it. He's showing you because there's a lack. Do it. Do it. Why do you think he's showing you? Because he wants you to do what we're called, the good works. Do a good work. Simple as that. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. I just put this last. We'll wrap it up. I just thought of, you know, God has an arm. Well, God has an arm. He has a team. You know, look at the people. Paul includes these people. You know, we're a team here today. You know, we all have different areas, different gifts, different enablings. When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, where I've decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas, a lawyer. You know, we need good Christian lawyers. I'm so thankful I have one in my family. You know, I can just call him, get advice, you know. I don't have to call him that often, but, you know, I always know I can call David. You know, I know some of you guys have called David. And he doesn't send you a bill, right? If I call the our FCC lawyers, they charge $500 an hour. How do you like to have a job like that? $500 an hour, I could live off that. And if you call them, they minimum will charge you a quarter hour. So figure that one out, $125. That's the minimum that they will charge you if you call them and say, hey, should I turn my radio on today? Yes, that's $125. Wow. That's like a football player. Why or a baseball player, a sports player. How did they ever get to making that kind of money? We should all turn it off. I hate to because I like to watch. I'm being honest. I like to watch football and hockey. Wow. A good lawyer. Apollos on a journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And they're all working together. You know, encourage them and help them on their journey. How important it was back then. You know, because journeying was hard. And so encourage them, help them. There wasn't Hampton Inns and stuff on every other corner. You know, help them. Give them a place to stay. Feed them. It wasn't McDonald's and all these fast food things on every corner. They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't, you know, help them along their way. Encourage them. Be part of the team. You know, how are we today? How is each of us a part of the team? You know, not just the church universal, but again, just the little local church. Pray, pray, pray. You know, I should have mentioned, you know, pray that the Oneida House sells. Put that on your prayer list. Pray every day. God, send a buyer. Sell it. Pray for the radio ministry. Mainly the expenses there. Pray, I just said, stupid old boiler. Isn't it awful? Just the physical things. And we can put it in ourselves, but we were looking, the cheapest thing, you know, I mean, $2,500. Who's got $2,500, right? I mean, just pray, pray, pray. Pray, hopefully we're praying for each other. And maybe we should be praying. We should be praying for each other every day. Right? We're part of the team. Let our people also learn to maintain. How many times, Paul, do you have to say this? It must be something that is pretty important. We're all about doing good. We're serving Jesus to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. We're just serving Him. We're His hands, feet, His voice. We're Him. We're representing Him. What would Jesus do in that situation? He'd bring life. I know that. And so that's what we're all about. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. And grace be with you all. Paul ends it. Be encouraged. Be doing good works. Be part of the team. Maintaining good works. Just serving Jesus. Let's pray.